From early on, I was hoping for full recovery, and so was my family. And when I think I realized that that wasn't in the cards at the moment, I felt like I was disappointing everybody and myself. And I was so upset with how things were turning out. But as I began to find myself again and find the things that I love, I realized that I can recover without being who I was. And I can find myself without being who I was, and that I don't need to fully recover and walk and see and do all of these things that might not be possible for me to be happy. Like, I can still be happy without being the person I was with the abilities I had.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. So glad you are here today. Today's topic is finding yourself after your brain injury, which is a topic near and dear to my heart because, I think it's just been a process through the last over 14 years since I've had my first TBI in 2007. Lots of different brain injuries. I kept falling and kept hitting my head over and over again in various ways. All the way through the last couple years. My most recent diagnosed concussion was December 2019. However, I've had a couple falls since then, and I had COVID, which caused my brain to have a lot more symptoms, which I talked about a couple episodes back on the episode about setbacks. So if you want to hear a little bit more of my story, you can scroll back through the feed and listen to, which one was it? I think it was episode 60. Let me just pull it up. Take a look. Yes, episode 60. So just two episodes ago, called Setbacks During Brain Injury Recovery. I share a little bit of my story with that. Now, I have taken quite a long break from releasing episodes over the last month. I want to thank you, if you're listening today, for coming back with us as we took this unexpected break from releasing episodes. It was something that ended up being necessary for my brain injury recovery and for my mental health. As I shared on episode 60, I had a fall in June. While it wasn't a diagnosed concussion, it did cause a flare-up of my symptoms, especially my autonomic system. My brain injuries have caused something called dysautonomia. And most of the time, I have been able to keep it under control and have been working on it, but it flared up. And that just leads to constant exhaustion and my heart rate and fatigue and just feeling all around bad all the time. My balance was not the best. I was lightheaded constantly. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't digesting well. That's all part of the dysautonomia, which means dysfunction of your autonomic nervous system. So it's your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. Your fight or flight and your rest and digest get dysregulated. So I had trouble resting and digesting, and I had trouble on, you know, being stuck in that fight or flight mode. So one of the ways to help rehabilitate that is low intensity exercise daily, which you can hear about back on episode 35, which was called Exercise Intolerance with Dr. Mark Heisig. And I put that into practice over the last month. I have worked on low intensity exercise almost daily, and I'm feeling a lot better. I also have been working on my nutrition and healthy habits, but I finally felt ready to bring back the podcast. The last 2 weeks, I had considered bringing it back, but I wasn't quite ready for the commitment of weekly episodes. And then once I brought it back, I wanted to be back, like for real. So as of today, you'll be able to expect episodes again every Friday through the rest of season two. So thanks for being along for the ride, you know. Whatever brings you here today, if you are a brain injury survivor, if you're a professional, if you are a family member or a friend of somebody with a brain injury, I just want to thank you for tuning in and being part of the journey of hope. Now, today's episode is about finding yourself after brain injury. And boy, has my journey with that been interesting. It is just so many ups and downs. A big misconception about brain injury is that it just affects people's cognition, or it just affects their, you know, memory, or, you know, the things you can see, like mobility or balance or vision, you know. But on a deeper level, brain injury affects your identity. Brain injury affects how you view yourself. Brain injury affects every single interaction that you have. It affects your self-worth. We've had some episodes about that. It affects everything. And so today, our special guest is a wonderful young woman named Maddie. She had a traumatic brain injury at a young age, which ended up causing some pretty significant symptoms that she still lives with today. She has come so far in her journey, and she is going to share what she's been through, and encouragement and advice for family members and advice for survivors. And so this is a very, very uplifting episode as you listen to Maddie's story. She is an artist. She is about to start studying art therapy. We actually recorded this episode a couple weeks ago, right before she left for college to study art therapy. And I have an update from her. College is going well so far. She's only a little bit over a week in, but she's loving it and she's adjusted well so far, which is wonderful. When you hear some of her story, you'll hear how amazing it is that she's going to college. She has issues with pain, and she is a wheelchair user now, whereas before her brain injury, she was an athlete, a cheerleader. She has struggles with her vision. She still has daily pain, and yet she has learned how to find herself again after her injury, even if realizing that what herself looks like or what myself looks like might look a little bit different, it doesn't mean you're not you. So that's kind of the message, the moral of the story today. And I am so excited to share Maddie's stories with you. Maddie's story with you. I think it's the perfect one to come back with here at the end of the summer. So thanks so much for being part of Hope Survives podcast. I did want to mention our online Zoom support group is happening later this month in September, on the 21st of September, on Wednesday. So if you've never been to our Zoom group before, I want to invite you out. If you're listening to this podcast a lot later, because I know sometimes people, I mean, I do this. I listen to old episodes of podcasts all the time. We do have a monthly group. So if you're interested, visit hopeafterheadinjury.com and get connected. Similarly, I also run a group called Brain Injury Bible Study via Zoom, which is different than our Hope After Head Injury support group, because in the Hope After Head Injury support group, we're a lot more focused on symptoms and brain injury stuff. And in the Brain Injury Bible Study group, we're focused on the spiritual side. So we'll read a passage from the Word of God and we'll talk together and pray. And it provides some of that spiritual side of identity and struggles after brain injury. And it's a really wonderful community. So if you'd be interested in that, we're meeting on September 17th. And again, if you're listening to this later, you can visit hopeafterhenry.com and click on Brain Injury Bible Study to find out when the next meeting is. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. Today, I am so excited to welcome Maddie to Hope Survives podcast. Maddie is a survivor and one of the sweetest people you will ever meet. Aww. So welcome to the podcast, Maddie.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you. So do you want to share a little bit about who you are to our listeners before we delve into your story?
Yeah, sure. My name's Maddie. I'm 18. I'm from Pennsylvania. I love to do music and art, and that's pretty much like a little bit about me.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing. So I met Maddie 4 years ago, 5 years ago,
I guess.
However long it was. Yeah. And she's actually a friend of my sister's. And so Maddie is an amazing, inspirational traumatic brain injury survivor. And she shared this incredible speech at graduation that just had me crying because of how relatable it was to my TBI story. And I've known Maddie for a little while, but I just thought, oh, she is so resilient and so inspirational and so encouraging. I just wanted you to get a chance to share your story with our listeners, because the people who listen to this podcast are brain injury survivors from all walks of life, family members. We have some brain injury professionals that listen to help get an experience or help understand brain injury better. And so do you want to just start out, share a little bit how you got your TBI and kind of start at the beginning of your story, and then we'll kind of work our way forward from there?
Yeah, sure. So I got my traumatic brain injury when I was 12 years old at cheerleading practice. I was kicked in the side of my head in like the left temple area. And immediately from there, like my life was completely changed. As weeks and days and everything went on, I eventually began to lose the majority of my vision, the ability to move my legs and walk. I was in severe pain. My cognitive abilities were completely messed up and different from the way I had previously been. And it took a very long time to begin to relearn things and live a happy life again. But I worked really hard, and I'm really happy with where I am now.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing. So when you first had your TBI, what was that process like of when you started to realize that you were having these symptoms and your life was different?
Well, I went to the hospital that night, and I was told that it was just a small concussion and that I would be fine in like a few days. And then, you know, after a few days, I was like, I feel worse. Like, this isn't getting any better. And my parents have said that my personality was pretty much gone. Like, I was there, but I just wasn't me anymore. And it was pretty scary, like, watching myself lose all of the things I had known for my entire life. And it was a pretty scary experience. And I just knew that something was wrong and that this isn't what a concussion would be like.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So do you want to share a little bit more of some of those symptoms? When I heard you say, you know, your parents said your personality was gone, our stories are very similar in the sense that, like, I also was told, you have a concussion, you'll be fine. I kept getting worse. And my parents also noticed my whole personality was gone. And yeah. It's so crazy how brain injury just affects everything. It's not just, most people have this perspective that, or this idea that it's just like how, like your cognition, but it's so much more than that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. When I first was injured, I was told to basically do nothing and just like rest and, you know, don't watch TV, don't do anything that like requires too much thinking, or don't like play any games or do any art or anything. And that was so difficult because all I had known was either sports or art. And obviously I wasn't going to be doing sports anymore, but then to be told that I shouldn't do like the other things that I loved to cope with this, it was very difficult. And so not having that to go to for just a little while was very, very strange. But I began to, you know, do art against what people had been telling me. I went to physical therapy one night and they asked me what I did that day. And I was like, oh, I painted. And they're like, you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, well, it's like the only thing getting me through this. And it doesn't put me in any more pain. It was just, you know, like the only thing I had that I could do. And so then doing art became like my go-to. And it was something I did like literally every day. It was just painted. And yeah. So because I didn't have much of myself anymore, going to art and like finding that part of myself again was the most helpful thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the research in brain injury has changed in the last however many years. And now the protocol has changed. It's not go home and rest and do nothing. We actually should be doing some active things. And art is perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because the brain is so complex, right? But when I had my injury too, like there wasn't the treatments that are out now. And that's a big part of why I do this podcast too, because so many people, they were dismissed from therapy and now they're at home and just struggling and they don't realize, oh, there's so many more things you can do to get better and, you know, improve. But you know, there's this idea of full recovery versus improvement that I kind of think we should touch on. So did you ever feel like other people, what did you feel like other people's perspective of your injury and your symptoms were, and how do you approach like the full recovery versus improvement idea?
Well, I feel like from early on, I was hoping for full recovery, and so was my family. And when I think I realized that that wasn't in the cards at the moment, I felt like I was disappointing everybody and myself. And I was so upset with how things were turning out. But as I began to like find myself again and find the things that I love, I realized that like I can recover without being who I was, and I can find myself without being who I was, and that I don't need to fully recover and walk and see and do all of these things that might not be possible for me to be happy. Like I can still be happy without being the person I was with the abilities I had.
That is huge. That is huge. That is such an incredibly poignant point. I can't think of the right word. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, that you don't necessarily have to be exactly how you were before to find yourself again.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you share some of the symptoms that you struggled with earlier on? Maybe go into more detail about the vision and the walking and how that has affected you as you've moved forward in your recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Immediately my symptoms were like severe head pain, headaches all the time, all day, every day. So I had that. I had very like blurry double vision, which I still struggle with the blurry vision. And now I am considered legally blind. I'm trying to think of other symptoms. I began to develop a pain disorder called CRPS, and that's in my feet, and it affects my feet and my legs. And that is the, one of the reasons for me being a wheelchair user now. And so that CRPS causes like very severe pain. So I had to learn to deal with pain in my head and pain in my feet. And then as for cognitive symptoms, I had a terrible memory for a very long time. I could not retain information, especially with like school. So school became absolutely terrible and I dreaded going so much. I was not a big school fan, but you know, as I previously mentioned, finding art and everything and going back to something I loved like that was like the main reason I got to where I am today, because that's when I found the art school and that's when everything really picked up for me.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What was it like? You know, you're talking about the process of finding yourself again. What was it like? Mm-hmm. You had your injury at 12 and yes. then, you know, your first couple of years, you're probably just figuring it out, getting used to it. So yeah. when did you start to feel like you really were Maddie again?
I would say towards March of freshman year. And I remember a very specific moment. I was doing a like vocalist cafe with my school, and one of my good friends who was a senior when I was a freshman, who had really like taken me under her wing and just like showed me the way with everything. She had introduced me to come onto the stage and said that like she said that I was her sunshine, and everybody clapped and my mom was like, oh my God, yes. And after I sang, so many people had like come up to me and been like, you know what? You are like a ray of sunshine. I was like, what? Like, this is the sweetest thing ever. And I realized that people were just like, I was making people happy with music and that people were proud of me and that, you know, that I was okay. And I just realized that like, this isn't so bad. Like, I'm doing all right now. And I found my people and I found my place. And, you know, the people at my old school had never said anything like that about me. I lost the majority of my friends very quickly after my injury. So coming to this school and meeting all these great people who would say such beautiful things about me to introduce me to come sing, I was just like, this is it. Like, this is absolutely it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. You know, yeah. you said that you lost your friends. Unfortunately, I think that's a common occurrence yeah. after brain injury. It's so hard because at first it seems like people are like, oh, you know, yeah, we're like, so sorry.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're just like gone. But I don't necessarily blame any of them because, you know, we were all kids and I can't imagine how scary it must have been to watch one of their friends like completely lose themselves like that. So, I mean, I wish it hadn't happened the way it did, but I understand why it did.
Yeah. And for you, you had to make some changes and kind of find yourself in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And it wasn't the way that people had previously known me and they were very confused by it. And I just understand, I guess, now.
Yeah. So let's talk about where you are now. So you are 18, as you shared earlier, and you are about to go to college. So what has that process been like?
It has been crazy. We didn't think I would even really graduate high school because of just everything. I didn't think I would graduate on time and nobody else did. And then I started junior year and I was like, I'm going to college. And everyone was like, what? Really? And I was like, yeah, yep, I'm going to figure it out. And I toured a bunch of schools. I did a lot of research and I found the school that was meant for me. And I got hooked up with disability services really quickly and they've just been amazing. And now I'm one of my biggest dreams is coming true and I'm leaving for school in about a week.
And what are you studying?
Art therapy.
And probably needless to say, why are you studying art therapy?
Art is what got me through my injury. And I did it without like a professional art therapist. And I think that if I can, you know, be that art therapist for someone and help them through it, but also help them know that like I get it and I'm I went through it, and maybe I didn't go through the exact same thing as what my patient would be going through, but I went through something, and I understand. And if I can help in any way, I would be absolutely thrilled.
That's wonderful. You're going to be awesome. I can't wait to see how it all goes.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. So what is your major encouragement for anyone who is struggling with finding themselves after their injury?
I think the most important thing for a lot of people to know is that, well, we all have, a lot of us have this plan of what we want our life to look like. And if that plan gets, you know, messed up, we're totally lost. And I think it's so important for people to know that just because things don't work out the way that we planned or the way that we hoped doesn't mean they won't work out. Everything's still going to be okay. It just might be a different kind of okay.
A different kind of okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? That's the process of, you know, how do you go from, you know, one of the major things that I have struggled with through my journey, and I still struggle with to this day, is the physical pain and symptoms and how that impacts my mental health. And, you know, it living with chronic condition, it becomes this marathon that you never asked to run.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
And, you know, you never thought, you never asked for this, you never wanted this, you never thought that you would be on this. And the longer that it goes, the more tired you get, and the more you kind of feel like giving up. And so what is your advice for someone on how to shift their mindset or their perspective when they are feeling like losing hope from chronic symptoms?
It sounds like corny and oversaid, but one day at a time, because you're going to have really bad days and you're going to have really good days. And if you have like three really bad days in a row or more than that, you might be like, this is what it's going to be like. And this is too hard, and I don't want to do this anymore. But there's always going to be another good day. And there's, yeah, you just hang on a little longer, because it's going to be okay.
That's so good. Yeah. So what was it like for you adjusting to becoming a wheelchair user, whereas before you were an athlete?
Yeah, that was very difficult. Like all of a sudden I could no longer do a lot of the things that I had loved, and society was not the most accepting of it either. I remember one of the first days after I got out of the hospital, I was out with my mom and obviously using my wheelchair, and we had forgotten a bag at like the cash register, and the lady yelled "wheelchair girl," like to get our attention, to say that we lost the bag. And I was like, that's like when it hit me that I was like, this is going to be harder than I thought, because people are going to say stuff like that. And that was so, I guess, hurtful in the moment to be like, that's all that lady saw when she looked at me. And then I realized that like, that's all some people are going to see. And I think I realized that I had to not only like try to make a difference for myself, but try to make a difference for others, because I mean, nobody deserves to be like, hey, I see something that I don't always see in you, and I'm going to label you for it. And that's like all you're going to be. So becoming a wheelchair user like that was like very difficult, because not only was I not fully accepting myself, and other people weren't accepting me either. And so it took a long time to be like, this isn't a bad thing. Like this is normal, and it's like, this is okay. But you know, eventually I did get there, and I realized that like, just because my legs don't work doesn't mean I'm any less of a person. Like, I'm just as normal as that person, like running a marathon or something. There's just a little difference, but it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's so good. Cause I think sometimes when you have a brain injury, you feel so different and you feel so misunderstood. Yeah. So how do you deal with people misunderstanding you and making assumptions about you?
I think, usually I try to do my best to, like politely educate if I can. You know, some days if it's like a bad day, it's hard to do that. And I'll just like stay quiet and let it happen. But I do like to try to educate people when I can, because I don't think people often have a malicious like intent when they like say things or assume things. I just think they simply don't know. So I'm happy to try to like explain things to them. And I'd so much rather people ask questions instead of just assuming things, because that's just a slippery slope. So I'm always happy to try to talk to people and explain things and help people understand, because if I'm helping people understand me, hopefully they'll like use that knowledge and try to understand others.
Yeah, that's so good. I also similarly think it's so important to educate people about brain injury. Because they do have misunderstandings about it, and I can't stand, like, you know, you watch TV shows and they always make jokes about brain damage, you know, that like, it's so annoying, because it's like, if somebody does something that they would say is stupid, they're like, did you hit your head? Thinking that that is
dropped as a baby, like,
thinking that that's okay. And there's just, it contributes to this misconception that brain injury equals unintelligent, which is not, we couldn't be further from the truth. Just because your brain is injured doesn't mean that you are not intelligent. It just means that it might come out in a different way than it did before your injury. It's still in there. And that was one of the biggest hurdles I think I had to deal with, because I actually spent many years thinking that I was so different, that I was like, I wasn't myself. Like, my parents even went so far as to say that I seemed like an identical twin of who I was before. Like, I was that different. Like, it was like my personality, my sense of humor, my taste and smell was different. My, like, everything changed. Yeah. And it was like, I felt like a shell of a person, like so empty inside. And you said art was big thing for you. Music was it for me, you know, writing songs and expressing myself through music, which is similar, you know, finding that creative expression. You know, it took me many years to decide that I was still me. I actually went through this whole process of acceptance, of realizing I'm not myself anymore, but that's okay. I can be a new person. But then I kind of had to, you know, maybe like the first like 5, even 10 years, like I was feeling like I was just a new person and that was okay. And I had to get to the point of accepting that. But recently, in the last like 5 years, it's been almost 15 years since my injury. In the last 5 years, I've been like realizing, I've been seeing little pieces of myself from when I was a child or from when I was younger, or like, and I'm realizing I'm still me. Brain damage doesn't take that away. A brain injury, no matter how many brain injuries you have had, nothing can take away who you are and your soul and you. And so even if it presents differently or if it's coming out differently, you're still you. And I love that, Maddie, you recognize that so early and so young. Like, that is, it took me a lot longer than it seems to have taken you to come to that same conclusion.
Yeah. I mean, not every day is easy and not every day I wake up and I think that, but I just have to remind myself that, you know, like, it's okay. And I'm still me, even if I don't like the same things or if I don't do the same things, I'm still Maddie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So how do you remind yourself? You said you remind yourself, do you have any like specific things that you say or specific things that you do on those hard days? Like, how do you lift yourself up when you are struggling?
Yeah. So I would definitely go to either art or music. I rely on both of those very heavily. Or I'd talk to my mom and dad, or, I've been so blessed with making, the most amazing friends, after my injury. And so I will go to them and they will remind me in a split second who I am and, you know, why I'm here and why I'm still loved. And, having people like that and having, like passions like art and music get you through it. So I would definitely say, I heavily rely on those.
Yeah, that's so good. So what encouragement or advice would you give if there's a family member listening today and their loved one just recently had a brain injury?
I would say that it's going to be really hard and that there's no way to sugarcoat it. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be so worth it. After all of the initial struggle, they're going to start to understand and they're going to start to find themselves again and they're going to be okay. And it might be really hard getting there, but getting there is going to be worth it. And even once they've gotten to the point where they're, you know, maybe they're not making a full recovery, but they're feeling better in certain ways and they're finding happiness, you know, even once they've gotten to that point, there's still going to be hard days. But that doesn't mean that all of the days are going to be hard. And it doesn't mean that it's a bad life. You know, it might be a bad day, but it's not a bad life.
That's great. I love your advice to the family members to know, like, it's going to be hard and it's going to take time, but the person will start to recognize it.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it's a process and it's different for everyone. But when your loved one starts to recognize what's going on, I know for me at first there was deep sadness. Like I had to go through a grief before I got to the other side of like, okay, I can be myself. Like there's a process of grieving, you know, the life that you had or the life you wished that you had. And there's this really, really difficult when you realize you have a brain injury. You know, at first, like you said, you're hoping for a full recovery and you're like, you know, oh, like, yeah, I got an injury, but I'm going to be okay. And then when you start to realize that, like you said, okay doesn't look the way you think it's going to look.
Yeah.
There's this sadness that you might have to walk through with them. But and for a survivor listening too, if you're in that sadness period, I hope this has been encouraging to you that there is hope on the other side.
Yeah, I really hope this has been inspiring and encouraging and not a big like sad moment, because it doesn't need to be. And you know, brain injuries, they completely change your life. And like, as you said, the grief period, and it's going to be sad too, because, you know, it's a huge thing to happen, but it doesn't all have to be sad. And even if it's a sad story, it doesn't have to have a sad ending. And yeah, the grief thing, I totally get that. It's hard for my family still to like look at pictures from before I was injured. So just like, wow, you know, it's shocking to see in such like a black and white way. Because when you look at pictures, you don't see the story necessarily. You just see like there's one picture and there's the other and they're different. But I think once you mourn and once you start to accept, it gets a bit easier.
Thanks for sharing, Maddie. So
of course,
what are your final words of hope for anyone listening?
I just hope that everybody finds the people or the places that make life so beautiful, or the things that make life, you know, worth living. I hope everybody finds that. And once you do, it's going to get easier.
Thank you so much. This has been, I've been smiling like this, basically this whole conversation. You are sunshine, Maddie. You are. And I'm so glad that you agreed to come on and share your story.
I'm so thankful for this opportunity. This was one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Thank you, Maddie.
Of course.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.